The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have always had a fascination with royalty, especially the British royal family. And the summer before I started fourth grade, my dad took a sabbatical at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland, and he took us with him. So we lived there for 4 months, and my siblings and I went to school. We did a good bit of sightseeing, and that whole experience only fed my fascination. I read all the history that I could for someone my age, and especially about women monarchs. In fact, while we were there, I wrote to Queen Elizabeth, telling her how much we were enjoying her visit, and there was a burning question that I was trying to resolve in my own mind. I asked her if she wore her crown around the house, because I couldn't quite visualize her wearing a crown while she was vacuuming. I got a very polite response from one of the Queen's ladies in waiting that very appropriately was vague about the whole crown thing. I think what fascinated me was that it all seemed like a fairy tale, at least in the mind of a 9-year-old. Today, on the last Sunday of the church year, we consider the reign of Jesus as Christ the King. Jesus was not like other royalty, either before or after. His was not a fairy tale existence. He had no wealth, no palace, no staff or servants. He didn't get chauffeured around. He traveled mostly on foot, in fact. Until he stood in a headquarters with Pilate, he didn't meet with any powerful heads of state. When Pilate questioned Jesus, already believing that he knew the answer, Jesus didn't respond from a position of power or authority, even in the face of certain death. Jesus' power was not the kind that Pilate seemed to recognize. The power that Jesus wielded was the power of truth and love. Samuel Cruz, associate professor of church and society at Union Theological Seminary, in a commentary on today's gospel, says, and I quote, "In allowing himself to be killed and physically defeated for the sake of truth, Jesus engages in the ultimate demonstration of the power of love." End of quote. With his very life and death, his resurrection and ascension, Jesus revealed a kingdom that is like no other. And I think that's what he meant when he said that his kingdom was not of this world. I don't think he meant that it was from some other place. I think he meant his kingdom was unlike the world. Jesus' kingdom was and is a countercultural way of being. Jesus' kingdom is a way of living and treating others in which every single human being, no exceptions, has worth and dignity, is loved and sustained by the living God. Jesus talked about the kingdom as a place where people are restored to wholeness, where they're set free and healed, where tears are dried, the hungry fed, and where there is no violence or hatred or greed. Which is really hard to imagine, especially right now at this moment in history. Jesus introduced this kingdom to the ancient world, and then he did what only he could do. He died so that others might live. Even though the kingdom that he ushered in was left incomplete, he left a lot for others to do, which was extraordinarily trusting when you think about it. But let me clarify who Jesus trusted to bring the kingdom to completion. Jesus trusted God. Jesus left his mission in the hands of people for sure, but the power and the vision behind that mission always has and always will belong to God. Which is why we hope. And it's why we trust. It's why we carry on, even when the work is vast and the barriers appear insurmountable. The kingdom is God's. The future of the kingdom is God's. And that is where we place our hope. We do what's in front of us. We live our lives one day at a time, and we trust and hold fast to the knowledge that the kingdom and the future are in God's hands. Matt Skinner, professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, is, in reflecting on today's gospel, posed an interesting question. He asked, "What future do we imagine? Where is our story headed?" So let me ask that question of you, the people of St. James, those here in this room, those scattered across the country, those worshiping with us online from home. What future do you imagine? Where is our story headed? Our story that is embedded in the greater story of God's kingdom. It's so important that we have a vision of the kingdom that God intends. I certainly do not see very far ahead, but I can tell you some of what is plainly visible. God's kingdom here is visible and tangible right now. When we gather for worship and share in word and song and sacrament, whether that is in person or via live stream. God's kingdom here is when people come alongside one another to help each other listen and respond to God's leading, like the spiritual directors who spoke last Sunday, and others who come alongside each other. God's kingdom here is when we encourage one another to learn and grow as followers of Jesus, like the folks who gather virtually every week with Chuck Stewart for discussion of the Sunday readings, and the children gathering today as saints in training downstairs, in person and some of them on Zoom. God's kingdom here is when we celebrate joys and support one another in times of sorrow. God's kingdom here is when injustice or suffering are addressed, like the jail ministry, the creation care ministry, the Racial Justice and Reconciliation Commission, and our partnership with the Auburn Rescue Mission at Merriman Circle. I can tell you God's kingdom was palpable on Thursday afternoon when a couple dozen people stood in the drizzling rain joyfully at Merriman Circle for music and blessing and sharing fresh bread with the residents of that community. God's kingdom here is whenever we stand with and for our brothers and sisters, doing what we can to bring healing and restoration. And I know if I went around with a microphone and asked you to speak, you could tell dozens of other stories of the times and the places and the situations when you saw and felt and knew the kingdom to be here. Ultimately, here in God's kingdom, what gives us hope and strength to carry on is knowing that this work and this world belong to God. And ultimately, when and how the kingdom is fully and finally established is in the mind and the heart of God, and within the purpose and the power of God. So I'd like to close using a paraphrase of a prayer originally written by the Right Reverend William Scarlett, who was the sixth bishop of Missouri. The Lord be with you. Give wings to our hopes and rest to our fears. Give us courage, O Lord, that believing in you, we may dare high things for you. Save us from little faith, which makes us the victims of anxieties and fears, and puts us to shame and confusion. Give us dignity and worth by sending us some work to do for you. Fire our wills to accomplish something for your kingdom. And may the spirit that was in Jesus so possess our minds and wills that we may share his indignations, his purposes, and his radiant faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. My love.
wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.